That's an external influence, which if allowed to be integrated into our lives, will lead us astray from wise principles, from godly counsel.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
You know, where people turn for help is sometimes a very real indication of their character and their faith. When you need to make a decision, where do you turn for help? One man turns to a local bar, to the camaraderie that he finds there among people in the same circumstances himself. Another turns to a reader or a fortune teller. Perhaps he pays to have his horoscope cast, and he thinks that somehow will help him to make a wise decision. Others turn to drugs or to sex. But the more sensible may turn to a doctor, perhaps to a pastor, perhaps to a trained counselor, to the Christian. Jesus Christ is the supreme counselor. In our first study of Isaiah 9:6, we discovered the source of true wonder in a man's life, the potential for the removal of dullness in the human experience, and we discovered that it came from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we want to look at Christ as the mighty counselor, the one who provides insight for the awesome and critical decisions of life. Steering, wise direction on the course of life, perhaps would be one good way of translating that word counsel. And accessibility of that kind of counsel enables us to remedy the basic decisions of life. Today we want to accentuate this concept that he is our counselor. Well, as I look at this subject, this concept, his name is counselor, there are three things in my mind. The first is the poverty of ourselves. Why we stand in such desperate need of this counsel. The poverty of ourselves. The second is the properties of our counselor. Why he is so qualified. So ultimately and uniquely qualified to give us the precise counsel that we need, the qualifications of our counselor. One, the poverty of ourselves. Two, the properties of our counselor. Three, the procedure by which we gain access to this counsel. One, the poverty of ourselves. Those spiritual demands, those powerful flaws that have invaded the experience of humanity due to sin, which render us impotent in providing godly and wise direction for ourselves. We need help ab extra. We need help from outside of ourselves. We need God's help. We need God's wisdom. We need Jesus Christ. We need his counsel. We're faced with at least two great problems. Let me give them to you quickly. We're faced with two great problems. The first is what I call internal deficiencies. One, internal deficiencies. That's one of our great problems. Internal deficiencies. And as I see them, they're twofold. We have a spiritual problem, that is a deceived heart. And we have an intellectual problem, that is a defective mind. Those are internal deficiencies. We have a spiritual problem, a deceived heart, and we have an intellectual problem, a defective mind. That's what the Bible says. The Bible is not very flattering in its articulate terms describing fallen man. Jeremiah says in the 17th chapter in verse 9 that we have a deceived heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is an innate depravity, Jeremiah says, in the human heart. It's desperately, the word means incurably evil. The word means sick. It is incurably sick. It has a congenital disease inheritable by birth. It's called the disease of sin. And it renders us inoperative spiritually. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's impossible to fathom the potential wickedness and incurable diseases that reside in the human heart apart from Jesus Christ. We have not only a spiritual problem, we have an intellectual problem. The Bible says that we have a deceived heart. It says we also have a defective mind. The Bible says that our mind is subject to severe limitations since the fall of man. We think we live in a period of great enlightenment. God says we live in the grossest darkness. We have a defective mind. Severe limitations have been imposed upon the human mind since the fall of man and the intrusion of sin. This spiritual principle of sin, which has first invaded the heart, has expanded into the entire anatomy of man and affected his psychology and his physiology. It corrupts his body. The processes of decay and decomposition have set into it, and it corrupts his mind so that he cannot think God's thoughts after him. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament exploded the myth of our intellectual autonomy and sufficiency. We think we're intellectually sufficient. We think we're intellectually autonomous. We think independently. That's what we think. But we haven't had an original thought since the Garden of Eden, since the implantation of evil into the heart of man by Satan's influence in the Garden of Eden. The mind of man has been defective. That's why Paul says in the New Testament, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, the emptiness, the impotence of their mind. Having the understanding, it means the thought processes darkened through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Whenever we leave the sphere of the purely physical, we have limitless knowledge when it comes to technology. But whenever we leave the sphere of the purely physical things, flesh and bones, nuts and bolts, technology and biology, whenever we leave the sphere of purely physical things and go across the line into the metaphysical, into the spiritual, there we are blind. We are groping. We're in the darkness. We're great erectors of physical things, but we cannot erect successful lives, successful marriages, successful families. Those are disintegrating all around us. Why? We need counsel. We need wisdom. We need God's principles that come to us through Christ. We have this internal deficiency. We also have these external enemies. I don't have time to develop this now, but we have these external enemies, the pressure of the world and its system of philosophy. That's an external enemy that influences us. Philosophical ideas, which are germane to the world, and the world is that system of thought and practice which stands in total opposition to God and His truth and is fed and energized by Satan. A lot of these ideas rub off on us. We're surrounded by godless philosophies which serve only to corrupt our ability to make wise decisions. That's why Solomon could say to his son, cease, my son, to hear the instruction which causeth thee to err from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 19, verse 27. I think Proverbs 19, verse 27 is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible, providing a mandate for Christian education. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction which causes thee to err from the words of knowledge. Paul says we're to have a godly contempt for man's wisdom. That's an external influence which, if allowed to be integrated into our lives, will lead us astray from wise principles, from godly counsel. We're to have a godly contempt for man's wisdom, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to naught, to nothing, the understanding of the prudent. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. A system of philosophy, the pressures of this world, one of those external enemies which confuses the human mind and makes more rigorous the demand for godly counsel. Also a satanic personality, the devices of the devil. Paul could say to the Corinthians, I fear for you. He could say it to us as well. He said to the Corinthians, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, that is as Satan, beguiled, that is utterly led astray, utterly deceived is the idea. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted, that is made decadent. That's what the word corrupted means. Made decadent from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, turn you away from single-minded devotion to the Son of God. The thing which plunged mankind into sin was the deceptive craftiness of Satan's influence over Eve's mind. And ever since that event, the mind of man has been at variance, at enmity with God. And that deepens our need of godly counsel. There's more to be said here, but I want to pass on to the next point. One, the poverty of ourselves. We have these internal deficiencies, a deceptive heart and a defective mind. We have these external enemies, pagan system of philosophy, and the pressures of the evil one. But then I want you to see the properties of this great counselor. And you just have to lift these out of the pages of Scripture, and there are many that could be listed. But first, I want to give to you, in discussing the properties of this great counselor, I want to give to you his qualifications, what a counselor Jesus Christ is. Maybe there's some critical decisions lying out ahead of you, and you're not sure what to do. You need the counsel of Jesus Christ. You need the wisdom of God. It's accessible to you. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you've been born again. But there are certain critical areas of your life which you're having difficulty with. You need the counsel, the wisdom of God. If you're unsaved, you need the wisdom of our Savior. What are his qualifications? Let me list them for you very briefly, all right? The qualifications of our great counselor. First qualification, his deity. He's God. I can't think of a more powerful credential for a counselor than to be God. The Bible says of our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul could say it, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2, verse 9. Paul could say in that same chapter, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's precisely what we need in this complex day. Wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And they're unfolded to God's people as we tap into him by faith. There's nothing in his omniscience, his infinite knowledge, of which he is not aware that makes for a good counselor. His deity. I tell you something else that is a powerful qualification of our counselor. Not only his deity, but his humanity. Not only is he God, he is man. So Hebrews can say, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood. Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Jesus Christ entered the realm of human experience. Thank God for that. That's the message of Christmas. Jesus Christ entered the realm of human experience, and no inquirer, no man seeking wise counsel, can come to the Son of God and say, you just don't understand. He does understand. He can sympathize. He can empathize. He has identified with our humanity. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4 in verse 15. He is not only deity, he became dust. That's what you and I are, dust. He's not only deity, he became dust. And on that basis, he can empathize. Third qualification of our counselor, his deity, his humanity, his charity, or let's call it his love. This counselor's involvement in our lives is not merely professional or financial. There's so much of that in our day and age in counseling. Just a professional involvement, a financial involvement. That's not true of the counsel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a counsel that's deeply motivated by love. His life and his death are an exquisite expression of love for you and for me. And we can expect that he will speak the truth in love to our hearts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. We can expect that he will speak the truth in love. You know, there are two kinds of counselors, those who are compromising and those who are calloused. Those who are compromising are those who have love but no truth. And those who are calloused are those who have the truth but no love. In the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a perfect blend of truth and love. He speaks the truth in love. He doesn't have just an artificial, a superficial, a professional, a financial involvement in our lives. He's deeply committed for meeting our needs. He loves you as if there were only one person on the face of the globe to love. And he will give you his counsel and his wisdom for the most critical issues of your life if you'll trust him.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
You know, I've met some Christian counselors who seem to have the spiritual gift of discouragement. Jesus Christ wants to encourage us.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.